Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Tommy is about some books. One, two, one, two, three, four.
Welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I am your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
Sid, I was wanting to ask you, we were over at your folks' place yesterday.
I remember.
And
I was awake and aware.
I saw a book about beekeeping.
Yes.
What's that about?
Well, beekeeping, I think, is the process of keeping bees.
Yes.
I think you have them at your home, your yard, I would assume.
I just sort of linguistically piece that together. I'm saying, like, why are your parents reading about beekeeping?
Oh, okay. Well, that makes more sense as a question.
Thanks.
Well, my dad wants to get into beekeeping. He wants to get hives, and not like hives, like, you know.
He should just eat some shellfish. He's really allergic to those.
No, like get beehives and have a bee, what do you got, a bee farm? A bee garden? Either way.
A bee hostel.
Yeah, he's concerned because, you know, the bees are disappearing, which is a big problem. It's a big problem for our ecosystem. And he read something online that said you need to do your part to provide more homes for bees, to encourage more bee growth, increase the bee population. And so he wants to get some hives and have some bees.
Okay.
Which is a little scary for me.
Yeah, I would worry about, well, you're just worried about, like, stinging.
Yes, I'm a little worried about, I'm a little scared of bees. Just a little scared of bees.
I'm more worried about the clutter, because you know your parents, like, it's going to be every day. Hey, we got another jar of honey. We can't have this. Can't feed it to our baby. It's poison to babies.
Yes, you can't give honey to, although she's almost a year.
I'm getting her honey birthday cake. Drizzle.
We're getting close to honey time, but you know,
honey time at McElroy House.
while I am a little anxious about bees and the whole stinging thing, the honey is actually, that would actually be pretty cool. Not just because honey, you know, is tasty,
mm-hmm.
because it is, but honey is a great thing to use medicinally for real. Sometimes, in some cases.
For real?
For real.
Why is it on our show?
Well, because so many people have been asking us to talk about it for so long.
Perfect. That's a good reason as any.
I casually mentioned honey in, I don't know, an episode a long time ago. I'm sure somebody's going to know which one it is. And I said, we should do a show on honey sometime. Because my perception of honey was that overall, it's not as good for your health as people think it is. And that's probably still a fair statement. I mean, nothing is as good. Everybody kind of gets like a thing. People latch onto a thing. Like, this is the thing that will fix you. Like, some people just tell you drink water all the time and you'll never get any diseases or whatever. And I think there are people who feel that way about honey. And that's not true. But honey is actually fairly useful in some cases. And there are some real medical applications for it. So it doesn't quite fit our criteria, but, along with the masses, Mara, Stephanie, Amy, Kelsey, Madison, Jennifer, Matt, and many other people have asked us to talk about it. Here you go.
That sounds good. If I make a stink face, by the way, while we're recording, I poured my smoothie into a mason jar that I just emptied pickles out of, and it still has like a distinctive pickle smell. So, like, when I go in for like a smoothie gulp and I'm getting like pickles, it's really heinous.
That's really on you.
It's on me, no question about it. I thought I'd need a travel smoothie container. I didn't realize I'd be here for a little bit longer, so I don't know why I did this to myself.
And what else do you choose for a travel smoothie container but a mason jar?
Nothing else we have is big enough. This isn't relevant.
Honey.
I have a mason jar full of honey. That's not true, but like, let's pretend that that is true. So I have some reason for the tangent.
So while I begin to tell you about honey, you can sit there and drink a mason jar full of honey.
Yeah. That's... I heard that it's great for me.
Oh,
and
no.
It'll cure all my problems, is what you said.
Okay. I've already ruined everything. Okay. We've been using honey as medicine since at least 2000 BC. So for a long time.
2000 BC?
Is there going to be a lot of that? I just want to know.
There's
now.
There's no way of knowing.
Okay, great. Tablets from ancient Sumer talk about how you could mix like honey and water and some cedar oil and some river dust, which I'm assuming is like river rock dust, river
to make
river
honey?
Dust. No, you mix that with honey.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, you guys don't need a recipe for honey. just get some.
I think people knew where to get honey. I didn't read about that. Like how did we first figure out like, hey, if you can get past the bees,
right.
This is delicious. This is delicious. Go get this. But you mix all this stuff together and you can put it on wounds and it will help heal them. So we've thought about honey, not just for its tastiness, but for its medicinal qualities for a really long time. The Ebers Papyrus mentions 147 different prescriptions, so to speak, medical concoctions that contain honey.
But it's also just like a good, like from a physics point of view, it's just a good bonding agent. It makes it look like a thing rather than just a bunch of crap that you stirred together.
It gives it like some viscosity.
Yes,
is that
exactly.
Your thought?
Yeah.
More like a syrup.
It looks like more like a treatment. Yeah.
Okay.
Looks more impressive.
Well, if you wanted to use it for baldness, here's an example. You could mix honey with red ochre and some powdered alabaster.
Oh.
Very fancy.
So I get that.
And then just coat your head with it, I guess. I don't know if you're supposed to take that internally or I'm going to pretend you coat your head with it. Do that.
That was the way for a lot of baldness treatments.
That's true.
Yield and dimes.
That's true. If you had a surgery and you survived it, which is a pretty big assumption when we're talking like Ebers Papyrus days.
Yeah.
you could use honey as an enema afterwards for inflammation.
That's
and,
really like
constipation.
You're really pushing your luck at that point, right? Like, you already survived that, and you're like, "Oh, maybe next up something in my butt." I guess I don't know.
Put some honey up there.
Just playing with. I'm apparently indestructible because I survived an old timey surgery. So
I think if you manage to survive an old timey surgery, just treat yourself and eat the honey.
Yeah. Don't put it in there. Put it up there. up higher. Up there. Yes, there. Your mouth.
A less popular papyrus called the Smith Papyrus that we don't talk about nearly as much as the Ebers Papyrus. They mentioned that to cure a wound, this is a prescription, first put some raw meat on it and wait a day, and then put a mixture of honey and grease and lint on it, and keep doing that, and you should be fine in a few more days.
Probably not.
No, I wouldn't do that.
And grease and lint on it. Uh-huh. That's an insane combination to put on an open wound. That's crazy.
You see this, a lot of these recipes had honey with some kind of grease, so I almost wonder if it was just to like loosen it, you know,
loosen it up a little bit
so it wasn't so thick, it would be easier to apply. I don't know, that's just my theory. I don't know if there was like a medicinal property of the grease.
Well, we got honey and grease on it, but it still doesn't look. How about some lint? Okay, lint. You sure we'll try lint?
I'm assuming they don't mean like pocket lint, like from your jeans.
I'm assuming they don't mean dryer lint because those weren't invented yet.
That's true. That's a great... Good job, Justin.
Thanks
for that excellent point.
Thanks. I'm here for the insight.
Honey is mentioned as something to sustain your life. Not sustain your life. To make you live longer and to make you healthier, and that it's good for your body and soul in both the Bible and the Quran. The Greeks also were fans of eating honey. Not just, again, because of its sweet deliciousness, but because they thought it could make you live longer. Hippocrates and Aristotle both wrote about it, and they also advised using it for wound healing. Pliny, of course, weighs in on honey.
Got to get in there.
He's got to talk about it. He talked about everything else, literally everything you could put in or on your body, so why not honey? And he had
a section on like pills and actual medicine, and he just discounted all of them. Like Tylenol, nope, not real. Advil, come on. Spell that somewhere else. Penicillin, no thank you. Don't want it.
Which would be really impressive if he predicted the invention of all these compounds.
He predicted them and then he instantly discounted them. just dismiss them out of hand.
Impressive and disappointing.
Yeah, that's Pliny for you in a nutshell.
So Pliny advised that you use honey for pneumonia, for pleurisy, and for snake bites. The Mayans advised using honey for cataracts.
Okay.
Again, something I think you would topically apply, which sounds a little unpleasant.
Just for the flies.
You'd think that the default with honey would have just been to tell people to eat it. Because if nothing else, like, nobody's going to be mad at you afterwards.
No, you just ate some honey.
Like, that didn't work, but it was good.
I think it's just because most ancient healers were actually bears. So they wanted humans to walk around dipped in honey.
Is that true? A lot of people
don't know that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Most ancient doctors, Pliny, bear, Aristotle, bear, Ebers, bear,
Smith, Yogi, bear.
Yogi, bear, bear, Grills. Those are some different bears.
You got anything else? I was just going to let you go.
Nope.
Okay. Bear and Stein, bears.
Mm-hmm.
Does that work?
Yeah.
Okay. In traditional Chinese medicine, honey is seen as a neutral food, or it's like a balanced food. So it's not just yin or yang. So that makes it particularly good for you. It can also strengthen your spleen.
I could use a little bit of that.
It can clear your skin.
Okay.
Give you rosy cheeks, prevent dehydration, prevent constipation, reduce inflammation. Also, it's good for, and there's a really long list here that I'm about to get to. And a variety of infectious diseases.
Just say everything.
Gastritis, celiac disease, inflammatory bowel disease, rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, ankylosing spondylitis. There's a huge list of things that in theory it's good for. And I mention this now because you're going to find this trend as we talk more about honey. People have advocated honey as kind of a, dare I say, cure-all.
Mm-hmm. And there's one thing we know about cure-all, Sydney.
Cure-alls.
Cure nothing.
So I would be really careful when you start reading about medicinal honey, because you're going to find lists like this giant list that says things like it's great for meningococcal meningitis, which no, don't take honey if you have meningitis. Go to the hospital now
and ask if they have honey there, because they probably have better honey than you have at home and it's free there.
So you just got to be careful about this stuff. In Ayurvedic medicine, it's interesting. They also talk about the use of honey, and they mention specifically that you get better honey from bees from India.
There's lobbyists that already gotten to them.
they're like wild bees, as opposed to, they kind of present them as like domesticated European bees.
That sounds like something that was put across by farm reps. F-A-R-M reps.
Was that another one there? That was pretty good.
I hated that I had to spell it, but it wasn't going to fly otherwise.
No, because it also sounds like something that a farm rep would say.
Yeah, but like that's why it's like the best joke anybody's ever told. Farm reps.
Ha. Huh.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. You got it. It's good.
Do your history.
It's great.
Do your history.
Sorry. They mentioned that there are different types.
Bees that come from a farm.
Do they though?
Farm reps and your dad's house.
Okay. See, I still don't know if that's like a bee. Is it bee farm?
I'm just saying that like
if you have a bunch of bees, do you have a bee? Do you have a bee farm?
I'm saying bee cultivation would probably be a good like facet of your farming business. You shouldn't hinge your whole don't hit your whole wagon to bees if you're a farmer. That's crazy. Nobody just says I'm a bee farmer. My name is Stingy Joe and I'm a bee farmer and I just have bees. But like as a supplement to the rest of your farming, I would think that would be fine.
Maybe, I don't know. Honey can be expensive. Maybe if you have like really great honey, you can make a whole living off your bee farm.
Yeah, but like you don't want to put, first you got to weigh the margins. Have you not watched Shark Tank? You got to check the margins on this and make sure that you got a market for it.
Has anybody ever done a honey thing on Shark Tank?
I'm offering you 25% of my bee business. It does not extend to my rutabagas or my lettuce or any of the other growables that I have on the farm. It is just the bee business that I'm offering today.
Why would I only want the bee business? Why can't I have a piece of everything? I want 25% of everything.
Well, it was my grandpa's, so I don't want to. I got to call him.
Okay. Should we stop doing Shark Tank roleplay now?
Shark Tank fan cast.
Let's be honest. If we were going to do that, it'd be Dragon's Den.
Canadian Dragon's Den, specifically. Okay, go on. I feel like we've gotten off the path.
I think maybe. Anyway, we're talking about wild bees from India. which are better than like domesticated, I don't know, uptight European bees was the kind of the way that it was presented, but I felt like. So there are also different types of honey that they mentioned. So you want to be careful which type of honey you get, because it can be used for a different kind of ailment. And it needs to be used cold. Warm honey is dangerous for some reason.
Because it will burn you?
Well, I guess if it was really hot.
Yeah.
No, I think that it has something to do with the properties of the honey. Because the temperature thing, and we haven't talked a lot about Ayurvedic medicine. We've mentioned it.
Well, we talked about it in the oil boiling episode.
Yes, but we haven't. I don't think we've gotten into the whole, like, the basis, like the foundation of it. And I don't understand it completely, but I think that temperature is an important facet. Like, the temperatures of different things. People have different temperatures. That's part of their, like, their persona and the medical conditions that they may suffer and that kind of thing.
Okay.
So it can treat. In Ayurvedic medicine, diabetes, eye disease, if you're vomiting blood, UTIs, cough, hepatitis, asthma, TB, hemorrhoids, and leprosy, among other things. Currently, there are still people who consider themselves like practitioners of honey medicine. It's called apitherapy. And this is an older therapy, but it is still around today. And again, it depends on the type of honey. And that, I guess that's based on what, you know, flowers the bee has.
Okay, that makes sense.
Been to what fields the bee's in, which seems like this gets really complicated to me, because I guess you would have to have your own bee farm, and you'd have to have all of the plants that the bees were going to visit there, and then know that they weren't going and like sneaking around with other kinds of plants. You know, if you were going to have like a unifloral honey, like if you knew that this honey was the product of your bees just visiting one, you know what I mean?
How would you keep track of them?
I don't know. That seems like really hard to me. I don't know if you have to keep them inside. Like if you build like a big dome around your bees and the plants.
I mean, you could ask them, but bees are notorious liars. They're not going to tell you the truth.
They're going to tell you that this is just chestnut honey.
Oh no, man. Just chestnuts. But, love them.
But can't maybe there's some dandelion honey in there. And that matters, because if it's chestnut honey, it's good for your bladder. If it's dandelion honey, it's better for your GI tract. If it's clover honey, it's going to be a sedative. And if it's buckwheat honey, it's going to be an antioxidant. I don't know that any of that is really true.
I don't know either.
In a lot of the cases, there's not really any research. And it's hard, because even when we do like studies on honey, when we've looked back at like retrospectively, when we've done studies to see if it really helps with stuff, we don't always know what plant it was from. So... Mm-hmm. Even if we found that like honey was good for this thing, what kind of honey was it? We're not really 100% sure. So I don't know that all that lines up. And if you really get into apitherapy, you'll find that they don't just recommend honey. It's like all the bee products. So you get into like the royal jelly that comes from the bees and the bee venom itself. And that's when you get some really crazy claims, in my opinion, because you'll see that bee venom is advised for everything from shingles to multiple sclerosis to cancer.
That's about where I like tap out on any sort of like alternative medicine. Like the moment you're like, and it's good for cancer, like, okay, we're done here. Like, you don't, like, if you want to say like it'll help your hiccups or it'll help your insomnia, whatever, sure. That's sure. Fine. Insomnia is more serious than that, but you get what I'm saying. Like, not a life-threatening thing, like, and you want to try some alternative medicines for it. I firmly believe there are alternative, like, ways of treating some of this stuff, but, like...
Absolutely. There's so much we don't know yet.
Throwing out, like, oh, and it's good for cancer. Like, I... Just stop it.
You can't put that in the same list. You can't say that, like...
Right, this exactly. Is, this it's, is... like, for sore throats and cancer and also an upset tummy. Like, yeah. Wait a minute, back up. There was one in the middle. You slid in.
When you throw in people who are suffering from things like MS and cancer, I think that's not fair. Unless you've got research to back it up. And in these cases, we really don't. But I will say this. A lot of the claims... currently, as far as what is honey good for, are one thing that we may actually have some evidence for.
What is it?
Well, Justin, I'm going to tell you all about that right after we visit the billing department.
Let's go. The medicines that escalate macabre for the mouth. During the break, I should warn everybody that we've added our third co-host to the show, Charlie Gail McElroy. She is playing contentedly in the back in her playpen. She's promised to let mommy and daddy finish their show. But in case you hear any gurgling noises, it's not my tummy. It's the baby.
Sorry.
Sorry. So, Sydney, you're about to tell me the one thing that honey actually does help with.
So there's one thing that we have some decent evidence for, and that's wound healing. Before the invention of antibiotics, it was common practice to apply honey topically to a wound to help it heal. After penicillin in the 1940s, we got kind of cocky. We thought, well, we can do better than nature. We make things. Well, penicillin came from nature. But then we made other things. We thought we were better at it than honey. And so we started using antibiotics. But then we've started having problems with resistance to antibiotics, right?
Right.
So, you know, we know we use antibiotics too much and that bacteria are learning our tricks and are getting wily. And so we're looking for old ways to use again to heal wounds. And this is where honey kind of came back in fashion. There is a medical grade honey that is sold that you can buy.
Like made specifically for that use?
Yes, exactly. So it's made and it's cleaned and, you know, sterilized, so there's nothing else in it. So it's not the honey you get from a bear. You wouldn't want to use, like, the honey you have in your cabinet for this kind of thing.
The important question is, could I use the medicinal honey for, like, on my biscuits?
You could use just the honey, but there are a lot of, like, preparations, like ointments and, you know, gauzes infused with this that you probably don't want to eat.
Okay, so just to judge sort of what you think of me as a human, you're clarifying for me that I shouldn't eat gauze. That's what you wanted to make sure in my ravenous appetite for honey that I didn't accidentally eat some gauze.
Yeah, don't eat gauze infused with honey.
Because I'm Slimer from the Ghostbusters.
Are you?
No, not to my knowledge.
So there have been many studies that have shown that wound healing is improved. It forms a barrier. These are some of the thoughts as to why. It forms a barrier. It promotes drainage through osmotic forces with the honey, sucking water and fluids out of the wound. It's antiseptic. It prevents the dressings from sticking to a wound. It's anti-inflammatory. It makes the wound smell better. Sure. The high sugar and the low pH can inhibit the growth of bacteria. So there's one specific honey called Manuka honey that is used in a lot of commercial products for this. Some other honeys can make hydrogen peroxide, which of course can kill germs, but that's not how Manuka honey works. There's Meta honey, which is a commercial preparation that you can use on wounds.
Meta honey?
Medi honey. Eczema, you can use it as a gauze. There actually is therapeutic honey at the hospital where I work.
Have you ever employed it yourself?
You know, I haven't ordered it because generally, like, the wound care nurses recommend it. But
okay.
But yes, it is something that we can use on wounds and do. And it's a little tricky. There are some studies that have said, well, it probably doesn't work any better than antibiotic ointment. So I don't know that I can say it's better.
Considering it's honey, like, as good or maybe even, like, a little bit worse than antibiotic, like, that's pretty impressive.
I think it is impressive, and especially when we're trying to be better stewards of antibiotic usage, you know, not just throw it at every open wound. You know, if it's not infected, why are we using antibiotics? If we can use honey, maybe that's a good thing. And there have been a lot of studies to look into its effectiveness on things like MRSA, the big scary bugs that we're all afraid of, because it, you know, in theory, it should work just as well no matter what antibiotic resistance patterns the bacteria has.
So is this something that's commercially available? Like, you be getting, like, this instead of Neosporin, for example?
I wouldn't go that far because the evidence is inconsistent and because you don't just want to use it on any old wound. It's like one thing I found in some of the literature is that it's good for burns. Using honey on a burn, it's good. And then I found other people who said you don't want to use it on a burn because it hurts if you put it on a burn.
Oh,
so well, I don't.
That's not good.
I wouldn't just use honey willy nilly. I would probably want to ask, you know, your doctor or a wound care specialist before I would just use honey. And like I said, it's suggested by people who will tell you to use honey. It's suggested now for everything, you know, gastritis and diabetes and alcohol intoxication. And,
right.
One thing I found pretty consistently is that if you read that honey is good for diabetics, that they should eat that instead of sugar, I wouldn't believe that. Honey is still, you know, still carbohydrates. And
right.
It's still something that counts towards, you know, raising your blood glucose if you have insulin resistance, if you have diabetes. So that's not like a like just eat as much honey as you want and stay away from other sugars. I mean, okay. You should still consider it like a sugar and be careful with it. So there's no truth to that. And you can really, like, I found this can go really into madness if you keep down this road. I found this one chart that there was a doctor in Russia who made of his patients that he treated in the hospital for everything with honey. The most in any one group was about 60. So this is not a very big sample size. And it's one doctor, his patients, one hospital. So again, not a great like random study. But the conditions that he mentioned that he used honey for were alopecia, inflammation of the vagina, prostatitis, impotency, and then two of the other illnesses were listed as geriatry and pediatrics.
So just old and kid.
Old and kid were two of the things listed, and I don't know what honey or how or where or how much, but he had like numbers like who was successful and who wasn't. So I mean, like, you find that kind of, and that's like a, that's supposed to be like evidence that this works. There was another table that claimed that honey could prevent cancer, and then it had like the physiological reason for how it prevented cancer, and it said anti-cancerogenic effects. So you have to be really careful, even if something is presented. I mean, these were presented as like graphs and tables and charts and like as a study. It was referenced. It had, you know, citations at the end. If you weren't a critical thinker, you would just look at this and go, okay, great. Science. Honey cures cancer. But that's not true. Now, I did find a lot of recommendations for honey massage, which sounds great to me.
Is that, that wasn't for the show. That was just a hint to me. Like, I should give you a honey massage.
Just give me a honey massage.
Got it.
And I think I found some other evidence. There's a little bit of evidence for like honey for a cough, honey for acid reflux, honey as part of like if your kid gets diarrhea and they need an oral rehydration solution, like something to, you know, give them their electrolytes and stuff back, using honey instead of other sugars and they're not under one.
Got it.
That's fine. Sure. What? Try this stuff. There's some studies that say maybe it's a little better than cough medicine. Maybe it's a little better than other reflux medicines. Why not? It's honey.
Give it a shot.
It can't hurt. And it's probably safer than a lot of the over-the-counter cough medicines for kids anyway.
Do you think you need, like, to get the most natural stuff? Like, obviously, like, unless you're buying, like, medicinal honey. Do you need to probably get, like, the most unprocessed stuff available? I would imagine, like, raw honey.
Well, I don't know. I don't know that that's necessarily better. I haven't found any evidence to that. The only thing that's been studied as like a specific type of honey from a specific region, which I believe it's in New Zealand, is Manuka honey. Mm-hmm. Past that, I really don't know that I have good evidence to tell you that one honey is better than another honey. I'm sure that they are. I'm sure that there is variation, but I wouldn't know which one to tell you is better. A lot of this stuff, like I said, we don't have evidence that it necessarily works better. It just doesn't appear to hurt. And there have been some small studies that suggest maybe you're better off doing just some sort of honey than cough medicine.
So you're saying that when I had Pizza Hut's honey sriracha drizzle on my pretzel crust pizza this weekend, that was like a medical treatment that I was applying?
No, because the vehicle that delivered the honey was, you know, pizza.
Medicinal pizza.
Therapeutic pizza. No.
Prescribed pizza. Pizza prescription.
I would like to make one point, and we've said it a couple times, but just to reiterate, because we've talked about honey now for things like diarrhea and cough and reflux, things that babies get. But, Justin, do you give honey to babies?
Nope.
No.
Easy. Dad 101.
Don't give honey to babies under one, they can get botulism. The spores can live in dust and stuff that gets in the honey, and their immune systems can't handle it. And so they can get botulism from honey. Adults don't, but babies can. So do not give your baby honey. That is a true thing. Don't do it. It's not worth the risk.
Thanks to the taxpayers for letting us use their song Medicines as the intro and outro of our program. Thanks to MaximumFun.org, the podcast network of which we are a proud member. There's a lot of great shows there. I'm going to recommend The Flop House because I think I've recommended it before probably, but I've been listening to it like obsessively. So, it's a great podcast about bad movies. It's been going on for like 7 years. So, check it totally out. I think that's it. Are we done? Oh, our email address is sawbones@maximumfun.org. If you want to,
if you want to suggest a topic, a lot of people suggested honey. That's part of why it is It is happening today. I hope you're all happy. So email us and tell us more topics.
Take that.
Take that.
That's going to do it for us until next Wednesday. I am Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.